Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Traina. Thank you for listening. We have John Oran from Sports Business Journal on the podcast this week to go through the latest sports media news, a little potpourri, everything from Amazon's tumbling Thursday Night Football ratings to Jim Nantz leaving the NCAA tournament, Ian Eagle taking over, update on NFL Sunday Ticket, World Series. So we cover a ton of topics with John Oran, and then Sal Akkad is back to join us for our weekly Train of Thought segment, where we discuss some NFL things, Taylor Swift, NFL best bets, and some other fun stuff. Oh, and stick around for the Taylor Swift discussion. I think you'll enjoy the revelations Sal shared with us. Before we get to the episode, quick reminder, last week, Christopher Mad Dog Russo, about to go into the Radio Hall of Fame, was on the SI Media Podcast. Dan Le Batard 2 weeks ago. So if you missed either of those interviews, check them out in the archives and subscribe to the SI Media Podcast. Leave a review on Apple, please. It helps tremendously. Hit the 5 stars, write up a little review. We'll read it here on the podcast. All right, let's get to this week's show. John Oran on the latest sports media news, followed by Sal Akkad in the Train of Thought segment right here on the SI Media Podcast. All right, joining me now, SI Media Podcast regular, Sports Business Journal reporter, co-host of the Marshan and Oran podcast, John Oran. John, how are you?
Jimmy, thanks for pronouncing my name correctly. I appreciate that.
Yes. Well, you can't get offended if Chris Russo doesn't pronounce your name incorrectly because he doesn't pronounce anyone's name.
Was it you that told me you haven't made it until Russo actually mispronounces your name?
Pretty much. Yeah. And Chris was on this podcast last week, so if anyone missed it, check that out.
And by the way, congratulations. Yeah. I know you're such a Stern fan. I saw your tweet on they picked out a 2-minute segment of the SI Media Podcast for that.
And I didn't know that was coming. So I was literally driving, listening, and that happened. It was quite a moment. And I was just happy that Howard said the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast, because sometimes people just say, oh, he was on a podcast, as you know, in the podcast business. Sometimes the credit is not always there.
Well, sometimes they credit me with stuff that Marshan says, and they credit Marshan with stuff that I say. So wait, can I ask you a quick question? So
yeah, ask me whatever you want. Sure.
So you're driving. Where are you driving? New York. Somewhere?
I was going to get lunch. I live on Long Island. It was 1:30 in the afternoon, and I was going to get a sandwich.
What did you do? Did you almost crash? Did you have to pull over?
Well, at first I was like, wait, what? And it just took me a second to like gather it. And what's good is if you have the Sirius XM that I have in the car, you can rewind. So I rewound it and was able to sink it in before I picked up my turkey sandwich. So quite an afternoon. Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. Let's see if maybe you can say something on this podcast that Howard will play next week. Howard has Bruce Springsteen on Monday. A lot of people are looking forward to that. Are you a big Bruce Springsteen? I mean, if you're a sports writer,
writer of a certain age, I mean, you gotta be right.
Yeah, you're a big Bruce guy.
When I went to high school, I graduated high school in 1985. You kind of had to pick. You were either a Bruce fan or you were a Prince fan, and back then nobody was both, or very few people were both. And I picked Bruce.
I was definitely in the Prince camp. There's no doubt about that.
I think as people have grown, they have both. But back in the 80s, you couldn't do it.
Right, right. There are a lot of sports media topics to get into. Let's start with something I find interesting, and I think this is in your wheelhouse, and that is the declining ratings each week for Thursday Night Football on Amazon and what it means. They came out of the gate strong, Amazon, week two, which was their first game, with the Chiefs and Chargers 13 rating. And then every week after that, an 11.3, 11.7, 9.7, 8.8, and then 7.8 last week. I mean, very interesting that Arizona, New Orleans would rate so much lower in terms of viewership than Commanders, Bears, and Colts, Broncos. Do you have any insight? Is the NFL nervous? Is Amazon nervous about each week declining ratings for Thursday Night Football?
No, not. Is the NFL nervous, and is the Amazon nervous? Not one bit. And in fact, I think that the ratings could go down to they could set record lows, and they wouldn't be nervous, because what Amazon has done with that first week, and what the NFL really did, they front loaded the schedule so that people would find Amazon and know where it's going. They showed every other league that they have the ability to handle big audiences. I mean, NFL type audiences. I was, I don't have the numbers in front of me. You said it was 13.1 million on week one.
Week two, which was their first
week,
game.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Week two. So they've proved that they can handle that. Why are the ratings going down? Number one, the games aren't nearly as compelling. Both the on-field play and the teams that are in there as well. And also, they're just running into more competition now. And so you have baseball playoffs going on. You have some relatively high profile college games that are happening on Thursday. And one of the reasons that I was so skeptical going into this season is that it's very difficult for people that don't have two screens set up to get out of the app, channel surf, and then get back into the app and click on the game. And I think that keeps people watching on Amazon a lot longer, but I think it keeps people watching on traditional linear TV a lot longer as well.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to bring that up, but I bitch and moan about that every week. So I'm glad you brought it up, because I've said all along.
You must be in my ear. Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously. I've said all along, I know how to stream. I have all the apps. I pay for everything. I know what to do, but it's not how I want to watch a live sporting event. And it's bared out, during the baseball playoffs, because you can't flip around. And, and I know someone will be like, well, put the football game on your iPad. Well, if I have a 50-inch TV or 48-inch TV, I don't want to watch it on a 2-inch iPad. So I'm lucky I have two TVs so I can maneuver it. But I think for a lot of people, that's just – if you're not going to have a great game and they're going to be throwing these matchups out there, people are going to bail, as evidenced, I think, by the ratings. Let me just ask you this. Do you think it's just schedule? So you think it's a combination of schedule, streaming not being convenient, or do you think there are any other factors?
I think it's a combination of schedule, and I think it's also the competition. There's more competition out there, and that's one of the things that Amazon benefits from. I think is that if you are committed to watch that game, you're sticking in that game, commercials and all, and I think that bears out with the length of tune-in. People are watching Amazon games a lot longer than they traditionally watch other games, because when the commercial comes on, you're just going to channel surf, and it's harder to do in an app environment like Amazon. Yeah. But that's also one of its detractions, I think. And people are if I'm watching, the baseball playoffs, I'm going from that to, the NBA was on. The NBA has some games, preseason game, early regular season games on. College football has a couple of like late games on, and it's, you know, you just end up channel surfing through that environment.
Yeah. It's, they have you trapped. There's no doubt about it. They have you trapped. Do you think they get a bounce back this week with the Ravens and Bucks? And if they don't, will that maybe, when I say, does it make them nervous? Here's the deal. Amazon has an 11-year contract with the NFL. I mean, the deal is here for a long time. No one's going anywhere. But the NFL is so image conscious, and it's become, Thursday night on Amazon's become a joke the last couple of weeks because the games were so bad. Those two specific games, the Broncos and Colts, and then the Commanders and the Bears. If it doesn't go up this week, would that send any kind of message?
No, I think that the time for nerves, frankly, was in Amazon's first and second game. Because I was expecting, you haven't had a lot of streaming where you've had a mass number of people trying to stream games at the same time. You have people, who knows whether their internet connection is good enough at home to handle a live streaming environment. And so I think the nerves for Amazon and the NFL was early in the season, like, oh God, I hope that we can handle this crush of people. I don't think I didn't give them an A. My social feeds were filled with people that were complaining about it. That first week I had a problem, you know, a couple of Amazon PR, I tweeted about it. Amazon PR was like, oh, all you need to do is X, Y, and Z. I'm like, well, what about my dad who doesn't have Amazon PR calling him and talking about that?
I had the same experience. And yeah, that's the thing. Everyone at Amazon's extremely nice and they're telling me what to do. But the whole point is I don't want to have to do this. If it's on TV, I don't have to go to input and go to settings and go to this button. And I don't have to do any. So you can be nice and tell me what to do. But the issue is that I have to do it when, if it's on any other channel, you don't have to do it. But
here's the worst part about Amazon having these games and them being as successful as they've been on Amazon. I mean, no matter what happens from here on out, this has been successful for Amazon without question, is that you're going to see more sports going to different streaming services. And what you're going to see is Apple TV Plus just raised the price of their monthly subscription fee. ESPN Plus raised the price of its monthly subscription fee, as did Hulu and Disney Plus. Netflix, everything everybody hated about cable and was like so desperate for these sort of streaming services to happen. They're going to look back. I'm already looking back wishfully, but the cable bundle was easy, accessible. It got to be a little bit pricey, sure, but like, yeah, I think that people are going to find that if they want to see what we are able to see on cable, it's going to cost them increasingly more money as the years go on.
I don't want to come off as a jerk, but I've been saying that all along. I've said all along, this is the worst time to be a sports fan. And people interpret that wrong, of course, because people are idiots and they think like, oh, you've never had access to this many games. Okay, fine. But I'm talking about what it costs to be a sports fan and to watch the games. That's all I'm talking about. The price, the fracturing of everything, how to, you know, stream everything, pay for everything separate. This is a horrific, and I've always said this too. This is if you like several sports. If you like one sport, two sports, okay, you're okay. If you like the four major sports, and hockey's not a major sport, let's say the three major sports, college football, you like hockey, golf, soccer, MMA, don't tell me this is a great time to be a sports fan because your wallet is getting destroyed.
Yeah, and all these different apps that you have to subscribe to. I think it's a, you know, and those apps are going to increase in price, and at some point they're going to. I think about this all the time. I'm stuck because I report on this, so I have to pretty much buy everything. But, you know, the day I retire, I think I'm going to go back. We started out talking about the 1980s. Like, why not just get an audio feeds and just, you know, put that on in the background? I can follow the highlights on Twitter or whatever social platform is around at that point.
I can't go that far. Like, I need to watch the games. But I'm lucky in that there are a lot of sports I don't care about. So I can get away with, you know, but I still have everything. I mean, I have every streaming service there is pretty much. And back to the Amazon ratings. What's interesting about the decline each week is overall for the main, you know, Sunday 425, Sunday night, the ratings have been very good. I know ESPN, I think they had a very bad rating this week for Bears Patriots, which was a little surprising. One thing that's interesting is the Manning cast clocks in, it seems like, at 1.5 million every week. It seems like it doesn't go up. It doesn't. It's 1.5 million viewers every week. Now, of course, you know, on Twitter, I feel like things are a lot calmer with the Manning cast. It's not, I don't think it's going as viral as it did last year. But on Twitter, you know, a lot of people have you think the whole world's watching the Manning cast. It's literally 1.5 million every week, it seems like.
Yeah, the Manning cast is funny because it's an alternate telecast. And everybody has tried alternate telecasts before. I happen to think the quality of the Manning cast is so good that even if my team is on Monday Night Football, I'm still watching Peyton and Eli talk about it. Because I they're storytellers. I think it's fun watching with them. And it worked for me. But yeah, the ratings pale in comparison to I think it comes out to about what 10% of generally, which is on the high side of other alternate telecasts, but not by a ton.
Yeah. This was the first week of the season I watched the Manning cast because I love Bill Burr and I wanted to see that. And the game was not a great game with the Patriots and the Bears. But I mean, I watched Aikman and Buck most of the game, and when Bill Burr was on, I watched that. But I feel like, I don't want to say there's a lack of buzz because that sounds very negative, but I do feel like the fever pitch excitement over the Manning cast is very different from last year. It seems like.
Oh, certainly, yeah. We're in season, number one, we're in season two. And number two, the main telecast, I mean, Aikman and Buck, just the hearing their voices on ESPN has taken ESPN from being, you know, the worst of all the number one television productions, yeah, I would say, to probably the best, or certainly in a conversation of the best. I mean, they're professional announcers that have been doing this for decades.
Speaking of ESPN and that old crew, you know, I thought it was a little surprising that Amazon agreed and Nielsen made this deal where we would get the ratings. There's a game this Sunday morning at 9:30 from London, Jaguars Broncos. And it's now, I don't think the majority of sports fans understand that this game is on ESPN Plus. It's not on NFL Network. It's not on Amazon Prime, only ESPN Plus. Will we get a rating or a viewership number for that game?
You know, I don't know. I'm going to speculate for you, though, because I haven't actually asked this question. But I think because of what the NFL did with Amazon, and I think the ESPN's already existing relationship with Nielsen, I would expect Nielsen to come out with a number for ESPN Plus at some point. But I don't know that for certain.
I would love to see how many people watch that game. Well, because there's the NFL. Go ahead, you go.
They're going to add in, of course, all the local. It's on the local over the air, so they'll add in some of those. It'll be a little bit higher than you might think, but it's going to be a small number compared to what we've seen with Amazon and, of course, 425 games.
But the NFL has had success this year with the London 9:30 games. They're getting their best ratings ever. You know, there was the Packer Giant game, which got around 4 million, which was like the highest rated London game, but this is Jaguars and Broncos ESPN Plus. I would love to get that viewership number.
I think that Packers Giants game, if I'm not mistaken, was the first time in the history of the NFL's London games that they had two teams over 500 playing.
Right.
And as you saw with Amazon, if you schedule good games, you know, fans are going to come and watch.
Now, even though the Amazon Thursday Night Football ratings have declined each week, they still managed last week to beat Yankees Astros in an ALCS. Now we have the World Series, Phillies and Astros. Last year's World Series averaged 12.2 million viewers. the big difference here now, last year to this year, last year's World Series started on a Tuesday, Wednesday, before the off day on Thursday, and then the three. This year starts on a Friday, Saturday. I'm expecting a big drop in viewership for this World Series from last year. What's your take?
I hate not answering your questions, but I'm not going to answer your question because it's solely dependent on how long the series goes. So if it's a 4 or 5 game series and the Astros like win it in 5 games, you're totally right. It's going to the number is going to be deadly. If this goes 7 games. And the Phillies start to, you know, this is like a young upstart team in the Phillies. The Astros, it might not be the best TV team, but certainly baseball would prefer to have the Yankees in there, but they're the perfect villain. Everybody remembers the trash can and the cheating allegations. So you're going to have a lot of people potentially tuning into that. So if it goes 6-7 games, I think it'll probably be a higher number. If it goes less than that, I would take your bet.
And the problem baseball is going to have, though, is game 6 and 7 would be on a Friday and Saturday, which are just killers in TV land, as you know.
Yeah, but, live sports, one thing that is true against all those major sports, people are going to find it.
That's true. That's true. What I found interesting about baseball this year is it does seem like there are people who now realize they had it pretty good with Joe Buck calling the games every year. Even Bill Simmons went on.
Bill Simmons went off on poor Joe Davis. Yeah.
Well, I don't think he went off on him specifically. I think it was the group of announcers. I think he said it's just a bunch of random white guys, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. But, there's the old adage that, you know, once you go away, people realize how much they miss you. It seems like that's the case a little bit here with Joe Buck.
I think Buck was in the latter part of his run. I think he was getting a little bit more love than he did certainly a decade ago. I mean, he had been calling World Series games on Fox since 1996. And so if you think about over the past, what is that, 25 years, 20 or so, every single big moment in baseball, especially in the postseason, it was narrated by Joe Buck. I mean, that's pretty amazing. You want to talk about the voice of baseball. One thing I want to give a shout out to Joe Davis, who this is his first year, but he's a guy that replaced Vin Scully with the Dodgers. I think Dodger fans generally, of course, don't like him as much as Vin Scully, Vin Scully is Vin Scully, but generally like Joe Davis. And getting somebody who replaced Vin Scully to then replace Joe Buck, I think that he's somebody that has the chops to possibly do that. I mean, a long road ahead of him. I don't think anybody's ready to say he's going to be the voice of baseball for the next 25 years. But he certainly has at a young age. He's 34. He didn't have the Prince Bruce Springsteen debate that I had. But yeah. He's got a resume that's pretty impressive.
He was more Nirvana, Pearl Jam, arguing about that.
Nirvana. You know, who would pick Pearl Jam over Nirvana? Come on.
Oh, I would.
There you go.
I realized over the last couple of games he called what I think is a problem I have with the way Joe Davis calls the game, and it's nothing major at all. He does a very good job. I shouldn't say it's a problem. It's more of an observation. He yells a lot, which I have no problem with. I like announcers who are excited, who are into it. I have no problem with the yelling. What I've realized with him is, though, sometimes he yells so loud, I can't understand the words he's saying. So that's my only criticism of Joe Davis is at this point is if you're going to yell, we still have to understand what you're saying. And sometimes, because you know what it is, he's yelling and the crowd is so loud in the background. If it's, a game in Philly where those fans are rabid. So I just want to make sure we can always understand, because, you don't want to miss a great call of his. If he's, he gave a great call on the Harper home run. And I felt like that one at first, I was like, wait, what does he say? And then it ended up becoming clear, but If you're going to be loud, we still have to understand you. That would be my only critique.
Yeah, game five, 2-run homer to basically win the series and go to win the pennant and go to the World Series is that was as loud as of a crowd as I've ever heard. So it is tough to get over that crowd.
And he deserves tons of credit because he laid out after his call. He said, you know, the hit, whatever, the moment of his life, the homer of his life, whatever it was. And then he laid out for like 30 seconds. So major props to him for that, because that's how you do it.
Yeah. And you know, if you're in the booth and you're quiet for 30 seconds, you know, that feels like 30 minutes. I'm sure you're itching. How many things go through your mind? Like, I got to talk.
Yep.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cowan-Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner. Homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Let's switch gears here, because the other big news of the week, your podcast co-host Andrew Marchand broke the news that Jim Nance will be stepping away from the NCAA tournament on CBS/Turner after this season. Ian Eagle gets the bump up and then he takes over, which is great news because then Ian's reunited with Bill Raftery, in addition to Grant Hill. But Ian and Raftery go way. If you live in New York, they called Nets games on the local sports channels here 100 years ago, and they were just a phenomenal listen. I was shocked when I saw Marchand's news. Were you shocked that you... And the shocking part, I mean, is Nance stepping down, not Ian getting the bump. I was shocked. What about you?
I wouldn't say I was... I don't think I was shocked. I don't think I was overly surprised by it. I don't know how much Jim Nance wanted to continue doing just the tournament. I mean, he had already given up pretty much the regular season college basketball. He's somebody who I think for golf, I think he's a top, if not the top announcer in golf. And for the NFL, he's been CBS's number one play-by-play voice for, you know, multiple decades as well. I mean, this almost seemed to be an add-on, and I just heard a lot of grief from about him parachuting in and taking away, you know, the spotlight from people like Ian Eagle, who you know, you think of memorable calls through the tournament. You have Ian Eagle. You have Gus Johnson before him. You know, you don't have a ton of memorable, you know, Nance calls, I think, as as the tournament goes on.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's just, you think, I think of Nance, and even though he's not in his 40s, I still think of him as sort of like in the prime of his career. And I always assumed he liked sort of being the face of the network and doing all those things. But yeah, I mean, if he's doing all the golf, he's doing the NFL, he doesn't need to be doing the tournament. So from that perspective, you know, he's looking to get a little time to himself. I get it from that standpoint.
And we had a discussion on the pod too, like Ian Eagle. I'm really impressed by CBS and just the bench that it has, that it can go. I think you have Mike Breen, Ian Eagle. And
well, no, Breen is with ESPN.
No, I know. I'm just talking about who's the best basketball play-by-play.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got you. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Ian Eagle is certainly in that conversation.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Now. Yeah.
Without a doubt. Yes. And I've written numerous times, I think CBS blows Fox completely away when it comes to the depth for NFL as well.
Well, of course, Fox lost their number one booth to ESPN. And
right.
I was impressed that they were able to get Burkhart, and for at least one season. I think Olsen has been pretty good as the number one analyst.
Well, we'll see what happens next year with Mr. I wonder, do you think there's any
chance? So this is a pod topic all the time.
Yeah.
1 to 10 means he's definitely going. Brady's definitely going to be in the Fox booth next year. What do you put it at?
I put it at a 10.
Yeah, I do too. Marchand is he's always around like 7 or 8.
I think he's definitely going to retire this year. I mean, seems pretty clear. And
after the Commanders just did it. Who did the Buccaneers just
lose? Carolina.
Carolina. Yeah.
So if the stuff about his personal life is all true, listen, I'm not saying he has to have a garage sale, but he's not going to pass up $375 million. That's just sitting there for him to call something. He is a guy who football is just in his blood. He's going to be a football lifer. So if he's not going to get into coaching, which doesn't seem like the case, why would he not go into broadcasting?
Yeah, because maybe he doesn't want to travel to Green Bay in November. You know,
I think he does.
I think he probably does. I think that's why he's back this season.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, like I think this is one of the most underrated topics in sports media. Like, why does this guy do a show for SiriusXM every Monday? Like, think about it. He's the greatest quarterback of all time. He's won 7 Super Bowls. He plays a game on Sundays, and he's got to do an hour show on Mondays? For what reason? He's not doing it for the money. Like, SiriusXM isn't paying him $10 million. Like, the guy, I think, just loves to talk about football. You know, he's become this businessman, you know, with all his Brady brand. And
TV, so I don't 12.
See him walk. Yeah, so I don't see him not doing the Fox thing at all.
Yeah, I see him doing it. I'm not sure if he'll last throughout his contract. He might
get
tired eventually. But next season, I think it's a certainty he'll be in that booth.
Yeah, I agree with that. It is interesting, too, because I think the Nance thing, now it sort of opens the door. Like, how much longer is he going to call the NFL? Is this the start of maybe him? I think Nance will do golf forever. I don't think CBS will be able to pry Jim away from doing golf, but you know, does he, how long now does he want to keep doing the NFL? I think is a valid question if he's given up the tournament.
Ian Eagle taking over for him as the number one play-by-play. I've made a bunch of calls this week about, you know, the Nance thing. I don't see him walking away from the NFL at all anytime soon. I don't think that's even a question. And the scale of 1 to 10, I would put that at a 1 or a 0 maybe.
All right. That's good to know. Give us an update. Every time I have you on, I have to ask you for an update.
DirecTV.
Why is Sunday Ticket, you know, it was, oh, by the time football start, the season starts, we'll have an announcement. Oh, by Christmas, we'll have an announcement. And now it's after the, what is going on with Sunday Ticket?
Sunday Ticket, I think, has become there are two things. One is there's a fascinating business deal to be had, in that you have the NFL that dictates everything with every single vendor, including the broadcasters. Like they're the ones in control, and they happen to be negotiating with Apple, who dictates everything with everyone. So you have these like really stubborn companies that aren't likely to give. I think that Apple is, you know, they just want more. They want to make Sunday Ticket more accessible, and they want to do more things with Sunday Ticket. And if they do that, they're going to see a revolt among these TV networks that are paying $2 billion plus per year in Fox and CBS that have clauses in their contract that, you know, it has to be a premium price service, whatever that means. I know you're a Sunday Ticket subscriber. Right?
No, I was for 20 years and then I got rid of it.
And you're happy to be rid of it. And I think that's a big problem.
No, I'm not happy to be rid of it. I'm happy to be rid of DirecTV. I am not happy to be rid of Sunday Ticket. I need Sunday Ticket.
So you don't think Red Zone is not an acceptable.
No, I hate the Red Zone. I know I'm the only person in America, but I hate that because it's just not how, again, it goes back to almost like the streaming thing. That's not how I want to watch a game. I don't want to watch a game because a team's in the red zone. And even if the game is between two shitty teams who are out of it, we got to go there and check it out. I want to watch what I want to watch. And that's not how, and the red zone too. I mean, you know, they're showing me games that are blowouts because some team's kicking a field goal down 35-3. Not how I want to watch a game at all. So I'm the one person in America who hates the red zone.
Well, I think the other thing that hurts the Sunday Ticket, frankly, is that, you know, the Brady years on the Patriots, you didn't need Sunday Ticket to watch the Patriots, the Packers, the Cowboys. Think of the most popular teams, and you generally don't need Sunday Ticket for the teams that get the best ratings. So it's almost essentially like a package for Jacksonville Jaguar fans almost. And I think that's something that has been happening more and more, especially as we're getting Thursday Night Football, we're getting all these London and international games, and they start slicing and dicing, and the Sunday Ticket package has just become smaller and smaller each year.
Yeah. See, when I had Sunday Ticket, what I loved the most about it was the game mix. I would watch the 8 boxes at once. And I think, and you can tell me now because you know this, I think that's what the networks, CBS and Fox, I think that's what they want to prevent Apple from doing is letting fans check. See, if it was up to me, if you said to me, okay, Jimmy Train is in charge of Sunday Ticket, what features do you want on Sunday Ticket? What do you want to make Sunday Ticket? What I want Sunday Ticket to be is I want to have a channel where, or whatever you want to call it, streaming, whatever. I want to have a screen where I can click the games I want on the screen. So if I want to watch 2 games at once, you know, boom, click them. This. If I want to watch 4 games, boom, watch 4 games. If I want to watch 8, watch it. And I want to be able to control the games. For instance, I'll just give you an example. Okay, this week at 4:05, the Titans play the Texans, the Commanders play the Colts, the Niners play the Rams, the Giants play the Seahawks. So if in my dream world, I would take Giants, Seahawks, 49ers, Rams, and I would make those 2 games on the Sunday Ticket. I don't want to be bothered with the other 2 games. And I want to be in control of what I'm watching. That's what I would love from Sunday Ticket. But I think, isn't the beef that CBS and Fox have that they want some control over what the fans are able to watch?
Well, so we'll use either one. We'll use CBS as an example. They pay, like, I think it's $2.1 billion a year for these games. The way they pay that back comes from, you know, distributors that carry CBS, but also from ad sales. And ad sales are totally focused on TV ratings. Right. And so if you make Sunday Ticket available at a price with what you described, it would grow like exponentially. It would grow a ton, and that would then hurt CBS, and it would hurt Fox because they would lose that in ad sales and potentially in fees from the distributors as well, because like you can get it on Sunday Ticket. You don't need Fox. You don't need you don't need CBS. Right. So they need to make sure that Sunday Ticket stays something that only hardcore sports gambling fans like you really want to get in there, or the fans of a specific team like, you know, the Panthers or the Jaguars.
It's not even, listen, I'm not going to say gambling is not a factor. It's a factor. It's not even that. I want to be able to watch the best games of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So like, for instance, this week in New York, we're going to have the Giants Seahawks game here locally. We're not going to get the Niners and Rams.
Yeah,
if you're a
New
football
York,
fan,
New York wanna, with the two teams, LA is the same problem with the two teams, right. And you don't get them in DC. Right. We have the one team, so we generally see right. You know whatever national game there is.
But when I hear people like you who cover this say, you know, Apple wants to do all these different things with Sunday Ticket, it makes me think maybe what I want is a possibility.
There's going to be a long road to hoe because I think that if the NFL accedes to Apple, that they have to have big conversations with companies that are paying a combined $4 billion plus per year to them. And that's tough.
Interesting. As always, at the end of the day, it's the fan who doesn't get what they want.
Yeah. And it's like we said earlier, like when the NFL almost always gets what it wants. So, you know, right. If that's the only way to get the deal done, I could see him going to Fox and being like, sorry, guys, we have your deal for the next 11 years. But it's I think that they want to stay away from that. And I'm told that there's language in those contracts that mandate that it stays at a service that's not going to get a mass adoption.
So where do we stand now in terms of when that deal will, is it, I mean, we've only talked about Apple. Is it a lock that it's Apple? Can someone, is there time for someone?
I think the fact that this is going on so long suggests that it's not a lock with Apple.
So someone could swoop in and.
Yeah. And other names, Roger Goodell has said that it's going to go to a digital provider. The NFL executives have been totally consistent in that something's coming by the end of the year. So within the next 2 months, that Amazon could re-engage. Google has been some sort of like outlier out there as well. People have thrown Disney's name out there, but I don't think that's been a really overly serious bid. I think this is something that's really going to go to one of the digital companies.
Yeah.
By the way, there's also the NFL app that they launched, which, you know, if they don't get the price they want or if the negotiations go too much, they could say like, you know, for a season or two, we're just going to put it on the NFL app and try to build that up as well.
Yeah. You know what? I was going to wrap, but something just came in my head. Oh, this will be the last topic. Maybe you could shed some light on it. You know, there was a weird thing last week where Turner Sports now has new ownership with Warner Brother Discovery, I think they're called. And
WBD Sports, Warner Brothers Discovery Sports.
And one of the bigwigs there said something about putting Guy Fieri on NBA telecasts or something, or Barkley's going to be on some show I had never heard of. And then they announced all these new contracts for the four guys on Inside the NBA, Ernie, Kenny, Shaq, and Charles. And Charles has got a 10-year deal, which he already says he's not going to fulfill. And then they like backtracked on what that person said. What is going on over there with Warner Brothers, Discovery, Turner, TNT, Inside the NBA? What are we, from the sports fan perspective, should we be worried about Guy Fieri calling a game with Kevin Harlan on a Thursday night?
No, the woman that runs TNT mentioned that, and she got out over her skis, and they immediately retract that.
Yes,
I think that if we do see Guy Fieri calling it, I think that would be like an alternate telecast that I would be avoiding like the plague. I'm happy to say, I don't think that's anything that people have to worry about. I would tell you this though, when David Zaslav took over Warner Brothers Discovery. He is a protege of Dick Ebersol. He's a big sports fan. He helped build up Discovery in Europe through acquiring a ton of sports, including the Olympics over there. And you had a lot of properties here in the States that were licking their lips and saying like, great, we got a sports fan who sees the value of sports in building a network. And so far they have not been involved in any rights deal. The Big Ten rights, everybody was there. They weren't really kicked the tires maybe, but they weren't serious. F1, Formula One racing, you know, they weren't serious about that. I'm not hearing them with the Big 12 or the Pac-12 really being overly serious. So nobody knows where this is headed. Nobody knows how aggressive they're going to be. I think there are warning signs that they're not going to be aggressive moving forward. But I do think that the idea that they re-signed their inside the NBA talent was totally a message to the NBA to say, like we might not be bidding on all these other sports, but we love the NBA. The NBA has been with Turner since the 1980s, and they want to redo a deal with the NBA.
Since you mentioned Dick Ebersol, have you ever seen anyone do a faster backtrack than Dick Ebersol when he just trashed the hell out of Tony Romo? And then that night was like, oh, I didn't mean what I said. I had done too many interviews. It was the fastest backtrack and the worst backtrack I've ever seen.
Instant regret. And what you say verbally and like a statement that you put out is, there's a little bit of a difference. I do know that Ebersol and Romo are very friendly. So I'm sure that, he did say something that was a little more indiscreet than he wanted to get out and wanted to make sure that Tony knew that. But there's a backstory to how that got back to Dick that he had to do that. I'm not sure what that is, though.
Yeah, because it wasn't, it's so inside that it wasn't like there was like fan backlash against Ebersol. I mean, maybe Tony was pissed and, who knows, but I thought that was just, you got to come up with something better than I was tired because I had done too many interviews.
I don't know. I'm at the end of this interview. Who knows what I'm going to say?
Exactly.
You've worn me down, Jimmy.
Yeah. You have any controversial takes you want to put out there before we say goodbye? I appreciate you coming on. John Oran from Sports Business Journal, the Marshan and Oran podcast. How's the podcast going? Everything good, man, with the pod?
We're having a lot. By the way, in all sincerity, both Marshan and I, like, we appreciate still coming on this pod. So thank you for extending that. And it's you already knew this. Marshan and I are sort of relatively new to the pod. It's a hell of a lot more work than I expected it to be. I thought I'd sit down for 45 minutes a week and be done with it. And it's not that at all. But we're having fun with it.
It doesn't help that every day 50 million people start a new podcast.
What was the number that I saw? That I think there's like literally 14 million podcasts in America.
And there's also, what's interesting too is, I guess people like us don't want to admit this, but to me, it's just clear as day. A lot of athletes and former athletes are now in the podcast business who are really, really good. Like everyone knows about JJ Redick, for instance. But like Travis and Jason Kelce started this podcast and it's tremendous. So like, and I'm torn because I'm like, oh, this is a really good podcast. I like listening to it. And it's like, okay, well now there's it's not like I'm in competition with them, but like the volume of podcasts for sports fans has to be just so overwhelming. I don't know how they pick and choose. Thank God enough people pick this one, but it's athletes, everyone focused on Draymond Green so much, but there's so many other ones out there now that they're really good. You got to, I think you have to just give it up to them. But my God, it's like, I wish half these podcasts can go away so maybe people can discover mine.
Yeah. But you know what is good about you and what we try to do too is like, we know what our lane is and we stay in that lane. And like, we're not predicting games and we're not getting into politics. Like if you want to know about sports media or if you're going to listen to your pod, you're going to listen to our pod. And I think that that's just sort of one way to sort of, it's almost like narrow casting now, right?
Yep. That's definitely true. All right, John, appreciate you coming on and dealing with some technical difficulties that the listeners want to know about. And we'll have you on again down the road. Thanks for coming on the SI Media Podcast.
You sounded great, Jimmy. Thanks for having me, man.
Anytime. Take care.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
You find it.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe.
From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Poppy.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The Immaculate Reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
All right, joining me now after a week off, a little scheduling snafu, we've got Sal Licata from WFAN and SNY TV in New York back on the SI Media Podcast for Train of Thoughts. How you doing, buddy?
Good. I'm mad that I missed last week because you had Doggy on, my idol. I love Doggy. And I saw that got some play, which was, I'm sure, a thrill for you with Howard Stern playing it back. Just incredible.
It was, the dog was great. It was a great episode. People loved it, did well. And then Howard played a clip and mentioned the SI Media Podcast on his Sirius XM show. So it was a very good week for the SI Media Podcast.
Yeah, and I was, and I'm sitting it out, and now I'm back, and now it's gonna get we're gonna go back down to the in the basement here.
Well, you always bring something to the table. You always bring something to the table. I'm gonna start with something weird. Because I don't know the answer to this question, and I don't know if you want to be honest, if, you know, people are listening who, you know, you might not want the answer known to. Are you wagering these days?
Yes. What happened was, so remember I told you about the Braves that I was trying to jinx them by betting on them? I don't know if we discussed that or not. I think we did.
I think so, yeah.
So then I had, because they weren't freaking losing, I had a nice little bankroll built up that I used to bet some playoffs, and I still have some left, and I've been a little bit with some of the guys at SNY having some fun on a Monday night or a Thursday night football game. So not recklessly, not every day, but yes, I have been wagering.
Okay. So obviously I'm a heavy NFL college football bettor. Also dabble a lot in the MLB playoffs. I was on the Phillies a lot, but we'll talk about that. But
nice.
I just have to share, last night I had some devastation. So on a night like last night, we're talking about Tuesday night, we're taping on Wednesday, Tuesday night, when there's no football at all, no baseball playoffs, what I'll do is I'll find an NBA game, just one, and I'll put together some crazy single game parlay. And I usually put like 4, 5, 6 things in it. And just to get, I don't do it to get like plus 900. I'll get like plus 200. I try to do it where I'm going to win it.
Right.
So I see the Warriors are playing the Suns on TNT. I'm like, perfect. They got a lot of star players. So I put together like this parlay with like over 20 points for Steph Curry, over 20 points for Booker, over 4 rebounds for Andrew Wiggins, over whatever the assists were for Chris Paul. I think it was 8. And then like the last thing I needed to complete the parlay was 2 3 pointers from Klay Thompson.
Who got tossed?
The MF-er gets ejected. And here's the thing, it's not that he gets ejected. What I got to see all over Twitter is he gets ejected for the first time in his career. And that is a little lesson for those of you who don't bet on why you should not.
And what quarter? I saw that he got ejected.
Third. Early third. Early third. Okay. Early third.
Un- unbelievable, but it's actually believable. And I do want to let the listeners know that you, my friend, I remember the conversation in my old apartment in the city, the apartment that we saw Fred, who runs the board for Howard, Fred Norris, you saw him in the elevator building, whatever. You told me distinctly, stop betting the NBA because I was getting beat on overs or points total, whatever. And really, since then, I have not bet because you can't win with the NBA.
I totally recommend not betting the NBA. But I'm not betting the game straight up or over-unders. I'm trying to put together a little parlay, just one a night when there's no football going on, you know. But
it's just action.
When you lose ones like that, you just can't make it up. You just can't. Now, let's along these lines, will you bet the World Series at all?
Good question. I haven't thought about it yet, which means probably not. I don't like either team. I'm going to root for the Astros because I hate the Phillies, but I'm not going to bet the favorites. Maybe it'll be a game time decision. It's not, oh my God, I love the Astros. I'm betting the Astros. I'm not doing that. I'm done betting against the Phillies. I had the Padres in the NLCS. I took the Yankees in the championship series for multiple reasons, but I don't have really one side I feel strongly about here.
I'm betting the Phillies.
What are they're plus while like 150?
150,
or something?
Yeah.
Now, will you bet the games too or just the series?
Probably just the series.
Okay.
Yeah. I like the value and I think they're going to win. I think it's going to be Phillies in five. I might put a little money on Phillies in five.
I like that idea because I was going to ask you. So let's just say you like the Phillies. Let's say they lose game one. Do you then double down at better odds?
No.
Okay.
No. I here's the thing. This could come back to bite me in the ass, but like I wasn't overly impressed with the Astros when they beat the Yankees. The Yankees are an embarrassment for a team that's in the ALCS. I mean, they had no catcher, no third baseman, no shortstop, no left fielder. The Astros should have won that series.
Right.
They should have won that series.
I get it.
So, and I believe in peaking at the right time and sort of the karma magic carpet ride that the Phillies are on. And I do like, you know, Wheeler and Nola. I think there's talent there. I think Bryce Harper... like I said, wasn't overly impressed with the Astros in that series. The Yankees stunk.
And Philadelphia, the environment there is just off the charts. They don't lose at home. It's incredible.
That clinching game was with the Bryce Harper homer. It was really unbelievable scene in Philadelphia. I think that, you know, it sucks because these games are on against football games and not as many people watch. But, I mean, that should have been like a banner night for the sport, but... Yeah, baseball's got problems. Did you watch any of the Manning cast this week?
No. Honestly, this year, I've been out on the Manning cast. And I don't know if it's it may not be consciously, but I do think it's because Buck and Aikman. I don't even think about the Manning cast because I'm just watching a Monday Night Football game that feels special because of those two. But I have not once... And matter of fact, I saw the guest that I wanted to check out. Bill Burr was this week, right? I wanted to see it, but I didn't flip over.
That was the thing. I'm in the same boat as you. And then I was scrolling through Twitter and I saw that that Burr was on, and then I flipped over and I watched Burr, who was great. I mean, he should have like an alternate telecast for all sporting events. The guy's hysterical. Couple of non-sports things I need to ask you.
Okay.
I don't know this about you. We've never really discussed this. Where do you stand on Taylor Swift?
I like some of her songs.
You're not getting all fired up because she has a new album out.
No, but my producer on the overnights for The Fan took off Friday morning to be there for the record release, Michael Fliegelman. And I didn't know about it. I get a text from Giannotti, who does the mornings with Boomer. He goes, hey, I noticed Fliegelman was off, and I know he's a big Taylor Swifty fan or whatever. I think he might have taken off. I'm like, no way.
Wait a second.
And then I asked him, he took off of work for that midnight release.
Oh, my God. I have so many questions. So many questions. Okay.
You believe that?
I don't even know where to be. I was not expecting this. I don't know where to begin. I have so many. Okay. So,
I mean, I like her music, but again, he's like a nut job that obviously would take off. He's wearing the Taylor Swift shirts. I respect the passion. I was just shocked by it, but I like her songs. I did not listen to one song off the new album.
Okay. So this guy is your producer on your WFAN show from 2 to 6 or 12 to 6.
Right. He works midnight to like 6.
On FAM.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you a couple of questions. I assume if he's producing your show, he can't listen to, can he listen to the songs during the breaks, or is there not enough time?
Well, you know how it is. You're talking about 3-4 minute breaks. So no, like if you want to enjoy it, you can't do your job and you're supposed to be listening to the radio show. Not sure that he does that, but I mean, he's supposed to be listening to me do the show, screen the calls. You can't listen to
He couldn't wait till 6 a.m. when your show, 5 a.m. Your show's over at 5 a.m. He couldn't
download it, listen to it on the way home. No, he couldn't. He wanted to be there for the record release, I guess.
I mean, to me, listen, I think anyone who's taking off a day of work to listen to an album, that's questionable right there. Forget what the album is or what the job is, just that. But if the thing came out at midnight, he just has to wait till 5 a.m. I mean, it's not like there's going to be, I mean, I don't know. That's
so remember, though, his schedule is he get off, say, 5 or 6 a.m., then he goes home and goes to sleep. So I mean,
well, in between going home, he can listen. That's the perfect time to listen to it. No,
yeah, I guess I didn't even think twice. I was just like, oh, maybe he's off. Maybe he's working a different shift. Sometimes they move him up to mornings. I get a text during the show or whatever during the week. Giannotti tells me, hey, I think he might have taken off for that. And then I asked him on the air the other day, and he said, yeah.
Sal is referencing Greg Giannotti from the Boomer and Geo show, which is on in the mornings on FAM, which I enjoy. Now, are people at FAN giving this poor guy a lot of shit for this?
It's a known thing that he's a, what do they call him, Swifties? Like, is that
Yeah.
He's a known, like, huge Taylor Swift.
To me, the Taylor Swift thing is irrelevant here. It's, if you take off any, to listen to any album from any artist, I find that beyond fascinating.
Correct. It has nothing to do with the artist. It's taking off for the record release. I joke with them about it, but I'm not giving them crap. I don't care when you take off. Do what you gotta
do. Probably sound so ridiculous too, saying album. Is that what it's called anymore? I mean, I don't know.
I have no idea. When was the last, like, I don't even buy new music. I have Apple Music. So if it comes out, I don't even know what's new music anymore. I'm listening to the old stuff.
Right. Yeah. I asked because I didn't know if you were, because I know how you are and I know when you like something. And if even if it's music and an artist, you're very passionate. So if you were a Taylor Swift fan, I could see you being very excited for the album release. And I was asking because I thought maybe you'd say, oh, yeah, I'm a Taylor Swift fan. I was looking forward to the new album. I liked it. I was not expecting you to tell me someone took a day off from work to listen to the album.
It does show you, though, her fans can be, you talk about passion. I mean, that's a little bit nutty. I wouldn't even do it for Eminem or whoever.
But like you said, I mean, we're a bunch of old farts at this point. I'm trying to think if there's any point in my life where I would, miss something?
If there were a Howard Stern something.
Right, but here's the thing. Let's just sticking with the music thing. When we were younger, back in our day, we have to do that. We would have to get in a car, drive to a store and buy a CD.
Right.
All this guy has to do is put on his phone and he has the album. That's why the taking of the day off is fascinating to me. Like the minute Taylor Swift releases that album, it's on his phone if he wants it.
Right. But think about it, I guess. And I don't know. These, like you said, these are new experiences to me as far as these releases at midnight. Yeah. And, you know, whether it's on a Netflix show or an album, like I can wait a little bit because I was used to that. But like he wanted to have it immediately, listen to it and enjoy it and not work, I guess, in dealing with it. Had he had a normal,
you know what? I'll cut him. Yeah, I would cut him slack from that standpoint. In that, if there is something I'm interested, see, I'm hung up on the fact that it's a record release. That's like, but if you tell me, you know, Howard Stern, like you mentioned, is doing some spell, you know, or if you tell me here, the Curb Your Enthusiasm season premiere is at 2 a.m. tonight. Like I'm going to set my alarm and at 2 a.m. watch. Like I probably wouldn't wait. So. Right. I get it from that, but an album, it's on your phone and then you listen to, I don't know what's going on.
I was floored by that, but I thought it was interesting.
are callers to your show calling in, making fun of the guy? Like,
No, we brought it up. And who knows? You can't make fun of anybody anymore anyway. I mean, you know, but it was not, he's a known Swiftie and it just got kind of glossed over. Now I didn't ride him for it, but it was, we did discuss it.
Did you see this absurd story today about her video and the word fat?
No, what? She said the word fat in her video. It's a big deal.
So I guess there's a video for one of the songs off the album. And in the video, at some point in the video, she goes on a scale to weigh herself. And in on the scale where there would be the number of her weight, it just says the word fat. So all these people complain saying she was anti-fat people or fat-phobic or whatever the term is. So now she had to re-edit the video and take that out.
Oh, this is, my God. You can't do anything anymore. Or say
like,
anything.
I'm fat. I wasn't offended by that. I don't understand. Like,
oh, my God.
Bizarre. Like
now, real quick, are you a Taylor Swift fan or no?
No.
Okay. Not the music at all.
Does she have 2-3 songs I enjoy? I mean, you know. If I hear Shake It Off, am I going to sing and dance? Of course. Does she have one or two other good songs I enjoy? Right. Yeah, but that's probably where it ends for me. Like when
you first asked me, I had to take a second and process it because in my mind, I heard Taylor Rooks. Like Taylor Swift is not even the most famous Taylor in my mind. So,
well, I mean, asked because that album release was like the big news of the week. And then I saw the whole thing today that she's in trouble for using the word fat in her video. So I said, I wonder if Sal is, because like I said, you're the type of person, when you like an artist, if Eminem came out with an album tonight, if Eminem says I'm dropping a new album at midnight, is that album on your phone by 12:01?
Taking work out of it, then I would want to download. Maybe not put it. I'm not enough anymore. I could be like, that's cool. I'll download it when I get a chance.
Right.
Believe me. And then I'd listen to it as soon as I could on whatever commute, but I would not go nuts the way that I maybe would in 2003 or 2004.
That's an amazing story that the guy took off from work. Here's the question. Did he enjoy the album? I mean, that's what we have to know. Like, I hope.
I think I asked him, but I forget what he said.
And what does he do? Just listen to it on a loop?
I don't know. I mean,
here's the thing. I consider myself a huge music fan. I listen to music every day. I need music. It does a lot for me. But I was never, I'm not a music aficionado, and I was never into albums. I'm into just give me the hits.
Right.
You know, like, yes, there are albums I've bought and CDs and I was never like I need to listen to the whole album from the beginning to the end to get what the artist, just give me the freaking hits.
I never knew that about you, but I love it. That's great.
Yeah.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe.
From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
The other thing, we have to do best bets. The other thing I wanted to ask you is another big non-sports thing is McDonald's is coming back with the McRib. I've never had a McRib. Is that weird? Have you ever had one?
I have not had one ever.
Oh, okay. I haven't either. I don't know why people cook. It goes away and comes back all the time, yeah. It seems like. Yeah. I don't know. I've never had one, but I thought everyone had. Okay. That's good to know that you've never had one.
Never had it.
Me either. All right. Best bets. I finally had a loss last week because I started bragging. I jinxed it. I texted Sal that I was 7-0 before the game was played. It was an accident, miscommunication. So I had the Patriots, which I still cannot believe Bill Belichick has caused this mess for himself. Shocking to me. Shocking. So I had the Patriots. So I'm now 6-1 on my best bets. Sal had the Packers last week. He's now 3-4.
Yeah.
Very terrible pick. So I'm 6-1, going to try to get back on the winning track. Sal 3-4 will try to get back to 500. What do you got for this week in week 8 in the NFL?
I am going to go Cowboys here. What is it, 9.5 over the Bears at home?
Yes.
I think this is one of those, they looked, and I watched a lot of that game last week, they did not look good at all. It's very frustrating, or it was frustrating, watching Dak in that offense against Lions, where they should be better. But I think this is a spot where maybe people are going to get high on Justin Fields and the Bears off of the dismantling of the Patriots. And the Cowboys didn't look great last year. The line is still pretty big, so maybe people will be tempted to take Chicago. I go the other way. I think Dallas at home has a statement game here. You look at the NFC. Dallas can easily get to the Super Bowl. The NFC is wide open. I'm not a big believer in the Eagles just yet. I don't believe in anybody else, maybe outside of the Niners. The Bucs stink. The South stinks. Outside of the Niners, I don't trust anybody in the West. I don't think the Vikings are any good. Dallas has to take that next step. I think this is the first week where they start to look like a legitimate, complete team with their quarterback back for another week and their defense leading the way, shutting down Justin Fields.
I think Dallas will be in it all year because of their defense, but I did not like the way Dak Prescott looked last week. So I don't know if I love that pick. Because here's the thing. You don't know if the Bears change some things and they've discovered how to use Fields properly off that Monday night game, or
right,
if that was a one game aberration. So we'll find out Sunday, obviously. I'm going to do something I don't like here. I'm going to go back to a big favorite. I don't want to do it. I was looking for an underdog. I wanted to get some points, but I'm going to go back to a big favorite on Monday night. I blew it with the Patriots. I'm going to go Bills -11 against the Packers. I went against the Packers 2 weeks ago,
wow,
with the Jets. The Packers offense has no chance at all to keep up with Buffalo. They have no weapons at receiver. Aaron Rodgers, like the act now, is getting tired. And I wonder if it's getting tired with his teammates, with his, you know, psychological, you know, I'm a guru and, you know, blah, blah, blah. The Bills at home on a Monday night, extra rest. The Packers cannot keep up with that offense. I think the Bills off a bye at home, crazy crowd Monday night. The Packers are not good. People are going to have to start realizing that. They're just right. Not. So.
Well, if you don't realize that now, I mean, their last right. hope was to beat the Washington Commanders.
Yeah.
It's over. They're toast.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Sal. Appreciate it. And we will see you next week.
All right. See you later.
Be well. All right. Take care. All right, my thanks to John Oran and Sal Licata for their time today. If you missed any recent episodes of the SI Media Podcast, dip into the archives and check them out. Chris Mad Dog Russo from SiriusXM was on the show last week and First Take. And Dan Lebatar 2 weeks ago right here on the SI Media Podcast. Subscribe to the SI Media Podcast, leave a review, rate it, and download any missed episodes. All right, that wraps it up for this week. We'll see you next week right here on the SI Media Podcast. Stay safe and take care.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Cameron-Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian,
from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.